John 5, verse 36 is this morning's text. Jesus says in John 5, verse 36, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to do, to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." I think we'll all agree to this statement, beloved. The greater the claim, the greater the attestation or witness of authority that is needed. If someone makes a great claim, they need testimony or proof to back it up. The bigger the claim, the more proof you need. Think of a policeman, for instance, wishing to interview a suspect. He may need to show proof of his identification, some sort of a badge or ID. If a policeman wishes to search the suspect's house, something more intrusive, he would need a search warrant to testify or prove that he has that right. Now think of our Lord Jesus Christ here in John chapter 5. Think of the claims that he makes, massive, and think of the testimonies and witnesses of his right to make such claims. Jesus here has said in verse 17, "My Father works hitherto," or up to this point in the history of the world, "and I am working too." Thereby, as verse 18 rightly puts it, thereby making himself equal with God. And then Jesus states, "I regenerate," or give new life, "to whomever I want." Implication: if I choose not to regenerate someone, that person will remain forever dead in trespasses and sins. I have that right, and I exercise it. "And I judge every human being," Jesus says. Present tense. I am judging you right now. What a claim. And, Jesus says, a man in the midst of a crowd in Jerusalem, "one day I am going to resurrect all of the dead since Abel all the way forward to the end of the world, and I'm going to do it by speaking with my own voice." These people had never heard anything like that. And what sort of a witness is needed for claims like these? A policeman's ID or a search warrant don't give you the right to say things like this. Jesus brings his testimonies. We saw last week his appeal to his first witness, John the Baptist, in verses 33 through 35 of John 5. And this week, we move to Christ's second witness, his own works, in verse 36. There are two more witnesses, and Lord willing, we will treat them in turn. All of the witnesses that Jesus has cited so far and in the next few verses are mighty witnesses, faithful witnesses, and sufficient witnesses to prove that Jesus is equal with God. And he is equal with God as the eternal Son who was with the Father in his bosom from the beginning, eternally begotten of him. That one being now made incarnate, because the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us, the same one who would lay down his life for the sins of all of his people. Let's turn to the works, the witness of Christ's works. The important comparison, the profound meaning, and the implied calling. the witness of Christ's works. The important comparison, the profound meaning, and the implied calling to everyone, including us. Our text contains, and can even said to be, a comparison. Listen for that. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. Jesus here talks about a greater witness, and his works are a greater witness than the witness of John. Now, earlier in this same chapter, John 5, Christ spoke of something else as being greater. He talks about greater works. Verse 20. The Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And there are four works of the Son that are mentioned in John 5, verses 1 through 30. And in order of mention, they are: 1, the healing of the paralyzed man; 2, regenerating; 3, judging; and 4, resurrecting. And of these four, in greatness, the raising of the paralytic, Jesus is teaching by the comparative in verse 20, the raising of the paralytic, it's in the lowest rank. It is fourth out of four. Verse 20, the Father will show the Son greater works than these. The raising of the paralytic especially. And of the four great works, the resurrecting of the dead is in first place. Verse 28, marvel not at this, that is, do not think that the preceding works that I have just mentioned, regenerating whom he wills, and judging every man, woman, and child, don't be astounded at this. The hour is coming when it's going to be an even greater work, because I'm going to raise the dead by speaking them into new bodies. All the world, all the people in the history of the world at once. That makes the resurrecting greater than regenerating or judging in time. Now, John chapter 5 doesn't specify regarding the two other works, their ranks. I'll give you my opinion. I think that regenerating is number 2 out of these four works, because it's positive, it's a work of grace, and it's higher, therefore, than number 3, judging human beings, and especially, as I explained in the sermon on this, negatively judging, that is, condemning and leaving that seal in their conscience. And now, moving from the works of Jesus in verses 19 through 30 to the witnesses of the Son, we see that there are also grades of greatness, not only in the four works in the first 30 verses of the chapter, but there are grades of greatness in the four witnesses in verses 31 through 39. The first two witnesses that are mentioned, that of John the Baptist, verses 33 through 35, and Christ's works, verse 36. Here's the comparison. I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. So my works, Jesus is saying, are a greater and better witness than the testimony of John the Baptist. Now, the first point of this sermon is the important comparison. And you say, well, why is it important? It is important not merely rhetorically, and we all know this and do this. I'm going to give you an argument for something that's a really good argument, and you set forth the argument, and then you say, and I've got an even better argument, and here's the even better argument, and people go, whoa, you're building a case. Well, Jesus isn't only saying, John said this, and I've got a second argument, not just one, and the second argument's even better than the first. Jesus is making an important theological point, not just a rhetorical point. And it's important, theologically, and in keeping within the whole of the Bible's teaching, that Jesus states that the works are more important, a greater witness than John's testimony, because John the Baptist is only a man. Now, he's a great man, but for all that, and he was greater than any of the Old Testament prophets, because in the history of redemption, he actually got to see the Messiah and baptize him. But at the end of the day, he is only a man. And Jesus said, part of our text last week, I receive not testimony from man. And in 1 John 5, verse 9, it's stated even more pointedly. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness that of God, which he has testified of his Son. And Scripture is always God-centered. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the honor and the glory. And we must be too. And so when the Bible speaks, it's always consistent with itself. I've got a great witness, Jesus said, John the Baptist. But after all, he was only a man, and the witness of God is to be believed far more highly because he is truth itself. The second point, theologically, why Jesus' works have to be a greater witness than that of John the Baptist, because all John the Baptist could do was utter words. And deeds are greater than words, especially from this perspective, because words can be cheap and empty. You can say something. Anybody can make all sorts of claims. Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, he says, I forgive your sins. And then he adds, but that you may know that I have power on earth to forgive sins, because anybody could say, I forgive your sins. I could walk through the streets of Ballymena and pointing out people, I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins. And of course, I don't have the power to do that. It would be totally meaningless. But Jesus then heals the man as a proof that his words were true. He demonstrates it. The miracle is a pointer. In other words, the works of God, which Jesus performs, must outweigh the words of a man. Even if the man is John the Baptist, and he is a great prophet, and the burning and the shining lamp. That's the important comparison that Jesus makes, so that we see that these testimonies, though you can number them, 1, 2, 3, 4, they're not all equal. And when Jesus explains why the first two in the list aren't equal, everybody says, yes, but of course, that's consistent. What about the profound meaning, though, that the works which the Father has given Christ to finish, the same works he does, and they bear witness of him that the Father hath sent me. Now, with this reference to Christ's works being in the fourth gospel account, our minds naturally turn to the seven miraculous signs recorded in the first half, chapters 1 through 12, of the Gospel according to John. And they're listed helpfully in the top right corner of the bulletin. The first miracle recorded in the fourth Gospel is Christ's turning water into wine
in the first half of John 2.
The text specifically says that this was the first miracle that Jesus performed chronologically. But the word first, its basic idea is this is the principal miracle. It's a picture of basically all of Christ's miracles. Water is turned into wine. That is, God in Jesus raises things to a higher and more blessed condition, ordinary water, to wine, and brings joy in the doing of it to God's people. John chapter 2 says that this first principled miracle did Jesus in this wedding feast, because Jesus is going to bring the ultimate wedding, and this is the first miracle. It's all headed to the wedding feast of the Lamb, and manifested forth his glory. There was something glorious in taking water, turning it into wine, bringing joy at a wedding feast. And it says, his disciples believed on him. They understood something, at least, of the sign. The sign pointed to who Jesus was, and he became the object of their faith. Sign or miracle number 2 in the Gospel according to John comes at the end of John 4. It's the healing of the nobleman's dying son, who was very, very bad with fever. And here's the boy's condition. He's at the point of death. The distance is striking because Jesus and the boy's father there in Cana, incidentally the scene of the first miracle, and the dying boy is miles down the road in Capernaum. The time of the miracle is important because when Jesus speaks at that very moment, the boy is healed, and that's recognized when parties from the two places meet. And the spiritual result is that the nobleman and his house believed. The sign is working positively. You're familiar with the third miraculous sign, that in John 5, the healing of the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, which began this series. And then Jesus explains that this is proof that my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Just like God works 7 days a week and performs wonders, I do too, even on the Sabbath. And I and the Father are one and equal. John 6, the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus says, here's the significance of it. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven to give life to the world, not to the Jews, so that I will be eaten and drunk by faith, because my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Speaking of his sacrifice on the cross, appropriated by believing. In that same chapter, Jesus walks on water. And then when he gets into the ship immediately is at land. And this shows Christ's control over the creation, because he is in control of the vertical. That is, he walks on water and he doesn't sink. He doesn't go down. He stays up. And then he controls the horizontal, because once he's in the boat suddenly docks. And the disciples said on that occasion, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Matthew 14, verse 33. That was the point, and they got it. The sign worked. Then in John 9, we have the healing of the man born blind. In the previous chapter, John 8, and the start of that chapter, John 9, Jesus teaches he is the light of the world. And he brings light physically into those eyes which had never seen anything.
And Jesus is the one, spiritually, who brings the light of the gospel and knowledge of God through faith. These are the words of that blind man, now healed. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And then the seventh and final sign in John's Gospel is his raising Lazarus from the dead. John 11, which brings things to a head. It all is culminating in that miracle because now they're all united. We have to kill him. And you know what Jesus said about that miracle. I am the resurrection and the life. I am life. Because I am life, I am the resurrection. Union with me brings everlasting life and the resurrection of the body. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And afterwards, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered as the Sanhedrin and said, what do we, or what shall we do? For this man doeth many miracles, literally signs. If we leave him alone, all men will believe on him. The works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. But of course, the other miracles which are not recorded in the Gospel according to John also are testimonies that Jesus is the Son of God. When he raised that paralytic outside his home in Capernaum in Matthew 9, it was proof, Jesus told his hearers, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And the people joined the dots. Who can forgive sins but God only? Yes, you got it. The miraculous draught of fishes recorded in Luke 5, Peter said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was saying, in effect, thou art the Holy One of Israel. And Jesus said, this is proof, just as you've caught this draught of physical fish, this is proof that in evangelism, thou shalt catch men. The many exorcisms of demons from those possessed testified that Jesus defeats Satan as the one far greater than Satan, and the demons would often declare, thou art the Son of God. And then this word, are you come to torment us before our time? We know what you're going to do on the last day. Are you going to do it to us early? And with regard to John the Baptist, John 10 verse 41 says, John did no miracle, but this man, he performs all sorts of miracles. And you'll recall the occasion when John in prison sent two of his disciples to Jesus. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, picture of the cleansing of sin, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. But Christ's works, the subject of our text this morning, are actually wider than his miracles, both those in John and in the first three gospel accounts. And here's the proof of that statement. Verse 20. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Greater works. And then what are the works? They're not healing miracles. Jesus goes on in the next section, 21 through verse 30, to deal with regeneration. And there were some there on that occasion, and elsewhere in Christ's ministry, who had been born again by Jesus' ministry. And they got the witness. He's the one who gave us the new birth. He regenerated us. There's a work that bears witness to Jesus. And the second work mentioned in John 5, verse 20 and onwards, is judging. And there were many, indeed most of those there, who felt Jesus judging and condemning them. There's a work that testifies he's the Son of God. He's testifying it in my conscience because I feel guilty and condemned for my sins. That proves that he's the Son of God. Wow. And then the third work, you say, well, how could that be a work that proves Jesus is the Son of God? Because that's the resurrection of the last day. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Yeah, but that's a proof of Christ being the Son of God, because all sense the power of his voice even then, as they listen to him. His voice. Yeah. That's the voice that's going to raise everybody from the dead at the end of the world. That's a witness to you too, that I am who I say I am. I'm equal with the Father. And we can go further. Because the works mentioned in our text, the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works I do, they bear witness of me. The works that Jesus speaks of aren't just the miracles in John, the seven we looked at. The miracles in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I mentioned just a few of them. Or the other works in John 5, regenerating, judging, resurrecting. But other things too. John 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus has been given one grand work, which includes many works. And Jesus' work includes things beyond the last miracle that he performs. Let's go further. John 5, verse 17. My Father worketh or works hitherto, and I work continually. He's going to keep on working. Even more clear, John 17, verse 4. I have, Jesus says in his high priestly prayer, the day before the cross, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And then Jesus said, as his sixth word on the cross, it is finished. The one great work that God sent me to do with all the many works within it. And so Jesus' works, not just the miracles, not just the three mentioned in the central portion of John 5, the Father gave him works like these. Gather disciples. Go on preaching tours. Cleanse the temple. Curse the fig tree. Obey the law sinlessly, which he performed for us and in our place in order to earn for us the righteousness of God, which is reckoned to our account through faith. Fulfill prophecy. Those are more works that Jesus does. And then, centrally, the culmination and climax of it all, the cross. Fulfill this work. Die for the sins of your people. Thereby defeat the devil and glorify the Father. And then another work, Jesus raised himself up from the dead, as he said in John 2, destroy this temple, referring to the temple of his own body, and in 3 days I will raise it up, as a mighty work that the Father gave me, and as a testimony that I am the Son of God. Because the resurrection declared that Jesus is the Son of God with power, according to Romans 1. Verse 36. I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The Father, mentioned twice, the Father gave me these works to finish. The Father who sent me. He sent me and he gave me the works, and the works prove that he sent me, and the works prove that I am the Son. And we should note this. Jesus is talking about the Father's works. The Father's works are surely of a piece and in the same line as the Father's works in the Old Testament. Works in the Old Testament, works in Jesus. They're all the Father's works. The Father gathers a people to himself in the Old Testament. That's a great divine work. Jesus gathers a people to himself in the New Testament. The Father cleanses the temple. He did that through Josiah and Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Jesus cleanses the temple in the New Testament. The Father teaches in the Old Testament through the prophets. Jesus teaches in the New Testament. The Father redeems from Egypt. The Son redeems from sin. And then we can go further. Jesus wrought in the Old Testament. He was the angel of the covenant who redeemed Israel from Egypt and brought them into the promised land and defeated the Canaanites. And Jesus spoke through the prophets. And then the Father is working in the New Testament. Jesus, the Son, works in the Old Testament. The Father works in the New Testament. And then John 5, verse 17, Jesus says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And the Father works through Jesus. The Father worked through the Son in the Old Testament. The Father works through the Son in the New Testament. I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And now, beloved, in one word, the implied calling of our text is believe. That's what you do with a witness, a testimony. You, taking it to be a faithful and true witness, you believe it. We've seen two witnesses so far in this series. John the Baptist last week, believe him. Christ's works now, believe them. They're both saying the same thing. They're both faithful witnesses testifying to the truth. And no lie is of the truth. And regarding the witness of Christ's works, and here I'm going to refer especially to the miracles, but sometimes some of his other mighty works, think of the number of these miracles. 7 of them out of many were picked and chosen by John. I cited a few others from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And you're familiar with the truth that in John 2 and 3 and in many places in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, We have references to Jesus healing a whole lot of people at one time. John 11 verse 47, his enemy's testimony was, "This man doeth many miracles." Many of them. Believe. And then there's the variety of these miracles. Jesus performed all sorts of miracles. And he appealed to that in Matthew 11 verse 5, which we cited earlier. Jesus healed eyes that didn't work, and ears that didn't work, and mouths that didn't work properly, and legs, and arms, and hands, and he expelled fevers. He would heal people at the point of death, and then he would raise people who had even gone beyond death. And all of Jesus' miracles were serious, non-trivial sorts of things. And each miracle is a call to believe on him. They're the works that the Father has given him. Believe. Christ's miracles were also undeniable. Remember, the land was filled with people who hated him, who would twist and do anything to get away from his claims. But Jesus' miracles gave them very few options. Sometimes, like in John 9, they'd say, "But was that really the guy who was blind?" And then they asked the man himself, and they asked his parents, and then his friends. Yeah, that's him. Okay, can't get out of it that way. At other times, they'd say, "Yeah, there was a miracle, but that doesn't prove that the Father sent him. That proves that Satan sent him." And Jesus said, "Okay, so Satan's now attacking his own kingdom. And if I cast out demons by the devil, by whom do your sons cast them out?" Yeah, that's a hard one. But they never tried to deny the fact itself that Jesus had performed miracles. In fact, they freely admitted it. "This man doeth many miracles." And the miracles are not the sort of thing that you see in charismaticism or in the Middle Ages. The miracles were very useful. They weren't silly or arbitrary or self-serving on Jesus' point. He fed the 5,000, but he didn't feed himself. He healed all sorts of people, but he didn't heal a blister on his own foot. He helped people, sick people, hungry people, demon-possessed people. Believe in him. All these works point to the truth. They're signs that the Father sent him. And he did this publicly for years. Most reckon 3 years. So that the people who were healed all knew it. Those who were there at the healing, they all knew it. And those who knew the people who were healed realized, "That's the guy that used to beg. That's my next door neighbor. That man was blind. Or he was a leper. And I've seen him many times. And Jesus did it." And the people knew that Jesus had performed these miracles. People in Judea and Galilee and Perea on the other side of the River Jordan and Samaria in the middle of those three regions. People in the Decapolis, the city sort of southeast of Galilee, and even people further afield, because Jesus made the odd foray into the north and there were Syrophoenicians, for instance, publicly. Believe. Let me quote you some key verses in this connection from the Gospel according to John. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, For no man can do these miracles, literally signs, that thou doest, except God be with him. Here's John 10, verse 25. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. John 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. John 15, verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And finally, John's great purpose statement, why he wrote this gospel and why God had him write this gospel and why God had him put in it the things that he did put in it. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And I could have chosen them, but the world couldn't contain the books that would need to be written. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. A mighty witness. A sufficient witness. Jesus points to it. It's faithful and true. But it's also sufficient to confound and condemn all those who, in spite of all the evidence, the clear testimony of John and of Jesus' works, don't want to believe and reject it. Trust in this Jesus. He is who he says he is. Amen. Our Father in heaven, give faith, strengthen faith, we pray, through the same Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who breathes into us confidence, trust, and assurance that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Grant this to us and our children evermore. Amen.